What a beautiful song to introduce our lesson tonight. Appreciate the selections of songs that Nicholas chose, and we could all sing together and worship God in spirit and truth. Thankful that we can all be here tonight to study God's Word. If you'll open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. And he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for the examples that we can read about in your word, how that people faced discouragement, depression. Thankful that we can learn the lesson, how that they were overcome by using your prescription. Help us, Father, to use your prescription, that we can overcome our depression and discouragement. In Jesus' name, amen. Here is Elijah wanting to die. Here is depression. Oh, Lord, take away my life. That's pretty deep depression, isn't it? Discouragement? Wanting to die? The prophet of God? What an example he would be for the people. But notice God's prescription for overcoming depression. As he lay and slept under a juniper tree, verse 5, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water by at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid himself down again. Here is a man that's using God's prescription to rest. God sends him food. He eats. You know, when you're depressed, you don't want to eat. He ate. God said, eat, drink. Then he laid down again. And notice, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. He's been rejuvenated. He's been refreshed. But he's still depressed. In verse 9, he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. Here is a man that's using God's prescription to rest. The best thing when a person is depressed is rest. But notice, as he rests, he takes in nourishment. But then, what else does he take in? God's word. The word of the Lord came unto him. He listened to God's word. What a better remedy for overcoming depression. When you're resting, use that time to listen to God's word. Is there any greater word that a person can listen to when they're discouraged, when they're depressed, than to listen to God's word. There's no greater encouragement to me when I'm depressed or discouraged, just to listen, rest, and listen to God's word. Just open the word and let God speak to me from that word. And that's what Elijah is doing, is resting, eating, taking in nourishment, and listening to the word of God. Look in Psalms 46 and verse 10. Psalms 46 and verse 10. When we stop and listen, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. What is he doing? He's taking time to rest. He is listening to the word of God. What is he doing? He is rediscovering God. Do we sometimes lose sight of God and who he is? Here is a man that knew who God was. He had listened to God. Look back in the 18th chapter of 1 Kings. How he had listened to God before in verse 37. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me that this people may know that thou art the Lord God. Here is a man that knew who God was. He's battling against the prophets of Baal, 450. He overcomes these 450 prophets and kills them. And now his life is threatened. He's facing a difficulty. And so he rests. He has to rediscover God. Here is a man that knew who God was. But in this time of depression, he forgot about God. And so the word of God came to him and he listened to the word of God. So he had to rediscover God by listening to the word of God. Do we ever have to rediscover God in our life? Is there a time in our life in which God just seems to go away from us? We don't feel God is near us. We don't feel God is close to us. And we just want to die. We just want to get away from this old earth. And that's what he did. He just wanted to, if he died and left this earth, who would be the first person that he met? That's right. He would be right in the presence of God. But he didn't think about that. He was so depressed. When a person is so depressed, they don't think about anything. Their mind is just blank. And so he says, be still. Take a time to rest. And listen to the word of God and rediscover who God is. God is to be exalted in our lives. Look in Psalms 14, verse 1. Psalms chapter 14. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Here is the fool. He is depressed. Look what he's doing. His life is filled with abominable works. But what is his mind centered upon? His mind is centered upon atheistic thinking. Notice, he thinks in his heart. He said in his heart, there is no God. So this man has filling his mind with atheistic thinking and saying, there is no God. There is no God. How depressed could that man be to think there is nothing that created this universe, that this earth or world came from nothing? There is no God. He's thinking that. And his mind is filled with abominable works, more wickedness. How much more wickedness can I perform in this world? How much evil can I do? Have you ever seen a contented evil person? A person that murders? They want to go and commit another murder. They're never contented. They're never satisfied. They never stop. They're never still to think about God or listen to God's word. They're filled with their own mind. They feel that they know everything. Nobody can tell them anything. They don't need God's word. But Elijah, he rested. And he listened to God's word so that he could rediscover God. But look at secondly. In verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. What is God's prescription for overcoming depression? Giving him a reassignment. Notice the reassignment. Go. You still have something to do. You are needed, Elijah. You are needed in my service. You are needed in my service. Go and anoint these two men to be king. I need you to be useful in serving others. Go and serve others. You're still useful. You're needed. You're needed in my service to anoint these two men to be king and then to anoint someone to take your place. And so he has a reassignment that he is needed. Do we feel needed in God's service? Do we become depressed in thinking, well, they don't need me up there. I'm not needed. I think everybody here feels needed in the service of God. I've been talking to some of our new ladies that have just placed membership. One that placed membership this morning. I asked her, I said, would you be interested in helping in Vacation Bible School? And that was the one question that she was confused about on her paper. And I mentioned Vacation Bible School. She said, oh, yes. And she said, I said, we need you. She said, you do? I said, yes. She said, I'll be glad to help. People need to feel that they're needed in serving God. I mean, when Brian comes around on Sunday morning and he looks at that schedule and half the people are missing, Brian just about wants to be like Houston, begins pulling his hair out. I don't know when Houston became so depressed. But he goes around and he taps people on the shoulder. And he says, I need you to serve this morning. Look at Nicholas. He has been assigned and reassigned. He was assigned this morning to lead singing. and reassign tonight to lead singing. And come, what, the fourth Sunday, he's going to be reassigned to preach. So here is a man that's willing to accept reassignments. He came to me the other day and he said, I'm in school and I haven't been able to spend any time proud of Nicholas in his college education. This boy's got a straight A average in college, freshman year. Does that make us all ashamed? And he said, I've been so involved in school, I haven't had really time to prepare and preach because he wanted to do good in school. And he said, I'd like to preach some this summer. I said, we want to encourage you to preach. So we began to look at the calendar, and we have him reassigned. I think about four or five times. At least four times on Sunday evening this summer. But isn't it wonderful to have people like this that will accept these assignments? Mark LaRocca is another one. I tell you what, about a year ago, we were needing someone to do the sign out front. I went to Mark. I said, Mark, we need you to help on that sign out front. He said, you do? And he said, I'd be willing to do it. This man does a marvelous job. Yesterday morning, it was cloudy, mist and rain. We'd been up here and came by. There was Mark out there with his ladder, with his letters. We had a long one for tonight, didn't we, Mark? My wife said, you think he can get all that on the board? I said, oh, yeah, Mark can get it. But we're thankful that, and he wants to be involved in the services, leading the closing prayer tonight. I remember when Mark, when he first started coming, he would come in, sit on the back seat, be one of the first ones out. Now he's looking for assignments, reassignment. We have, I think this could be multiplied with every individual in this room, that you're willing to accept assignments and reassignments. But look in Jonah chapter 3. Jonah. As you look at old Jonah, here is a man that had been very successful, had gone down and accepted God's assignment to go to Nineveh, and he preached. And notice the whole town, notice in chapter 3, verse 10, and God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil, and he said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. But notice, it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. Jonah was angry. Here he comes in, he says, 40 days, God is going to destroy Nineveh. And the people repent. And now he's angry because they repent. And so he goes outside the city. And so he says in verse 5, Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. Now here is a man that is in deep depression. He's dissatisfied. The people have repented. He wanted God to destroy Nineveh. They were considered God's enemy. But look what God says to him in verse 11. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons, 120,000 people, that cannot discern their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. Jonah, You should be a reassigned. Here is a nation, a city of people. They have repented to turn to God. And 120,000 young people that need to be taught about God. Jonah, what are you thinking? You're needed. You and I are needed to help train young people. That's what we do in Bible study. I'm thankful for those who have volunteered to teach the Bible, to train young people's minds that they might come to know God. Some people say, well, they just don't need me in the Bible class. They got everybody else doing it. Everybody is needed in the service of God. But notice thirdly, God's prescription for overcoming depression. In verse 19, so he departed thence and found Elisha. Isn't that beautiful? Here is a man that goes. Here is a man that's using God's prescription of relationships. Notice he says, he departed thence and found Elisha. How does he build relationships? First of all, he goes and he finds Elisha. He doesn't wait for Elisha to come to him. He takes the first step. He takes the initiative. He wants to build a relationship with Elisha. So God tells him to go and to find Elisha. And he found him plowing. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Isn't that wonderful? Here is a man that has been depressed, has no relationship with anybody. He says, God, let me die. I'm the only one left. I'm the only one serving you, God. There's nobody else. He wasn't looking around. He said, you go and you find Elisha. And you build a relationship with him. And he does. And when Elisha is contacted by Elijah, what does Elisha do? He stops his plowing and follows after Elijah. They built a very close relationship. How do we build relationships at church? Are we the ones that want to be found? Or do we take the first step? Do we take the first step to go to people and find them? And to take the initiative to build a relationship? Or are we just sitting around and waiting? Well, nobody spoke to me today. You know, I was at church today. That's the most unfriendly group of people I've ever seen. Well, who did you go and speak to? Nobody. Why didn't you? I couldn't get out of that place fast enough. I knew nobody was going to speak to me, and as soon as the amen was said, man, I hit that door running. Did you take any initiative to go and introduce yourself to anybody? No. It was their job to come to me and introduce themselves to me. It's their responsibility. Oh, really? That's what Elisha was thinking. I'm the only one left. Nobody cares about me. Poor little lonely me. I'm having a self-pity party. How lonely I am. Nobody cares about me. Wait a minute. Take that first step. Elijah had to go. He found Elisha. Have you ever noticed some of your closest relationships in this church or because you took the first step to introduce yourself to somebody and y'all just clicked. That's one of your closest relationships because you took that initiative. You didn't wait for them to come to you. You went to them. Doesn't that build closer relationships? I tell you one thing. If I'd waited for my wife to come to me, I'd probably still be a bachelor. Thing about it is, she did not want to come to me. She was trying to avoid me. Why? I had just broken up with a girl. And this girl cried on Linda's shoulder, telling her what such a good man I was. But she used different language. And Linda thought I was Satan in the flesh, not Ted Cruz. So when I saw her and she saw me, she knew who I was. Man, she just tried to avoid me like the plague. It took, I don't know, about 6 months, 3 months, 4 months. 4 months, wasn't it? Yeah. I didn't give up. I went. I was persistent. And now we're fixing to celebrate 56 years. Now, Houston says his life's, what, your wife's the most blessed woman? I guess mine's the second blessed. So I learned from our elders. But we have to go. We have to take the initiative, first step in making that contact to build relationships in with each other at church. I love it after services when people are just gathered around in little groups and going and meeting each other, just talking, visiting with each other. Isn't that great to build that close relationship with each other? But look in Hebrews 10:25. Notice how some fail to use this prescription. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. How can I build close relationships if I don't take the initiative to even come to services? You know, I asked people, I said, how close are you to some people? I'm not. They attend maybe one service a week. They have no close relationships. They come in, they leave. They take no initiative to introduce themselves to anybody. They come in, some come in late and leave early. I make contact with them when I go around speaking to people before the services. They know me, I know them, but they don't seem to want to build a lasting relationship. I've always believed the church is a body of people that build close relationships. It's a family. It's a family of God's people. We are brothers and sisters in the faith. I didn't have any fleshly brothers and sisters. I thrive on brothers and sisters in the faith, the building relationships. But we have to take that initiative to build that relationship. And one way we do it is by coming to the services. But he said, here are some that forsake the assembly. No wonder they don't know anybody down there. Nobody cares about them. You know, it's amazing. Some people want to be the ones sought. They want others to take the first step in finding them and building the relationship with them. Isn't it a two-way street? Or am I wrong? I've always thought it's a two-way street. I'll go on that premise. So are we, you know, when we use God's prescription to overcome depression, rest, listen to God's word, to rediscover who God is, we sometimes become discouraged. We forget about who God is, how great He is. And then we need to accept a reassignment that we're needed. We're essential. In the functioning of the body, there are no non-essential members in this congregation. Every member is needed in the service of God. And then to realize, we build relationships by taking that first step to make contact, to build close relationships with each other. Tonight, if you'd like to build a close relationship with Jesus, to let Him be Savior of your life, let Him forgive you of your sins, to believe in Him as the Son of God, repent of sins, be buried with Him in baptism, or if you need the prayers of the church, would you come as together we stand and sing?